Fastball belted deep left field. Yes, sir, there's number two into the second deck.
And not a bit of doubt about that. Jose Bautista goes deep. First inning gives the Blue Jays the lead that they will never relinquish. 1-0 there. They add three more in the third to make it 4-0. They go on to a 7-3 win over the Tampa Bay Rays to improve their record to 6-4 and move back into a tie for first place in the American League East right now with the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Only have a little bit of time on the network, but we will extendo on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio. Pardon me, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And on sportsnet590.ca until 11 o'clock Eastern. So let's get right to the phones. We'll lead off with Jonah in Thornhill. Hello, Jonah.
Hello, Michael.
What's up?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you think that maybe, given his history, Farrell or Dwayne Murphy might be reluctant to approach Colby Rasmus about toning down the aggressiveness in his hitting philosophy. So far in the season, he's offered at 18 of 36 first pitches that he's seen, and the results aren't there. When he's putting the ball in play on the first pitch, he's 0 for 8. So I'm just wondering if you could perhaps give some insight there.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there's any reluctance at all. I think that if John Farrell or Dwayne Murphy or anybody sees an issue, they would go after it. And I don't really believe there's reason to try to curb Rasmus's enthusiasm, and aggressiveness. I think that he's a guy who in the past has shown an ability to use the walk to get on base. He may be 0 for 8 putting the first pitch in play, but a lot of them have been very hard hit balls and that just haven't fallen in. If you look at his batting average on balls in play, you'll see it's extraordinarily low. I mean, last time I looked at it, it was like 120. I'm not sure what it is right now.
I think it's 185 now.
185, which is still ridiculous, ridiculously low. So I haven't seen him take a lot of first pitch swings that he's rolling over on and hitting weak ground balls to second or that he's popping up. I see him hitting ropes and rockets and fly balls to the warning track in left field and line drives right into the first baseman's glove and things like that. So, no, I have no issue at all with Rasmus' first pitch swing. Appreciate the call. And, unfortunately, we're only going to have time for the one. But remember, we will do the Extendo Jays Talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet590.ca. So keep it here, there, and everywhere. Blue Jays take down the Rays 7-3. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
More Toronto Blue Jays baseball is coming your way.
Hammer deep left field. Yes, sir. Let's hit my own that one.
On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I'm Zach Cosby. Another night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and another star has been injured. Marian Hossa stretchered off and taken to hospital after a hit from Rafi Torres. The Hawks lead that one over the Coyotes 1-0 in the second period, while the Panthers took down the Devils 4-3. Florida with their biggest playoff comeback in franchise history, and the Predators looking to hang on against the Red Wings. They'll take a 3-1 series lead if they can hang on to their 2-1 lead late in the third.
And tonight was a big night for your Toronto Blue Jays. They take down the Tampa Bay Rays 7-3. Jose Bautista goes deep. So does Brett Laurie. So does Adam Lind. Let's take a look at what else is going on elsewhere across Major League Baseball. And the Boston Red Sox are getting embarrassed at home, trailing 18-3 to the Texas Rangers as they play in the top of the ninth inning. Mike Napoli has homered twice. Josh Hamilton has gone deep. He's driven in five. Michael Young, Adrian Beltre, Nelson Cruz with home runs as well. Elsewhere, it is the Baltimore Orioles leading the White Sox 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth. If they hold on to win that game, they'll move back out in front of the Blue Jays, half a game ahead in first place in the AL East. Detroit leading Kansas City 3-1 in the top of the eighth inning. It is 0-0, A's and Angels top two. Indians leading the Mariners 1-0 in the bottom of the first. Earlier, the Yankees beat the Twins 8-3 to move up over the 500 mark. In the National League, it was Washington over Houston 1-0. Miami beat the Cubs 5-2. Braves 9 and the Mets 3. Right now, Dodgers lead Milwaukee 4-3 in the bottom of the 8th, looking for a 7th straight win. Reds and Cards are tied at 1. Top 8, Colorado leads San Diego 3-2. In the top of the 7th, Arizona over the Pirates 3-1. In the top of the 3rd. The Blue Jays and Rays continue this series tomorrow night. We'll be on at 7 o'clock Eastern for 7:07 first pitch. Brandon Morrow against David Price. Should be a good one. Make sure you join us. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Gord Brunt, Dylan Brown, and the birthday boy, Rob Wong, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers.
Spend the season with us. We've got every game. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And the 2-2. Curveball hit in the air and deep to left field. Going back is Joyce watching. This one is gone. Two-run home run. And with that swing, Adam Lind, his first long ball of the year. And the Blue Jays now jump on top 4-0 here in the third inning.
Second home run of the season for Jose Bautista. First home run of the season for Adam Lind. Later on, Brett Laurie would hit his second home run in as many games and his second of the season. The Blue Jays take down the Tampa Bay Rays 7-3. Ricky Romero with a solid effort, though he didn't get an out in the seventh inning, which is pretty unusual, but the bullpen was there. Jason Fraser, Francisco Cordero, and Sergio Santos combining for three innings of two-hit shutout. Wasn't a save situation for Santos, but he hadn't pitched since Wednesday. So the Blue Jays were eager to get him some work, even though they are in a long run right now of games without a day off. The Blue Jays' next off day is May 7th. So they're going to play a lot of games in a row, 20, in fact. So you got to kind of be judicious with your relievers' innings. You don't want to use guys in situations where they might not ordinarily need to be used, because you never know if you're going to need him the next day. But with Santos not having pitched for a week, kind of important to get him some work. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cellular telephone, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Also, of course, live and in color on the internets at sportsnet590.com. We'll hear from Blue Jays manager John Farrell a little bit later on in the program. But right now, we go to the phones, and let's go to Russ in New Jersey, who's listening on sportsnet590.ca. Russ, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. This is your inaugural visit of 2012.
Well, it's Passover, Mike. I didn't have the time to call, but...
What, you don't have 4 days in between?
We followed the Jays, but we didn't have a chance to call. So,
Russ, if you're not going to use a Cholomoid to call, then what else
Cholomoid,
are you going to use it
that's
for?
It. Let me say like this. You know, I keep on hearing your comments about the Blue Jay fans, some of them nervous and the sky's falling in because of the offense. It just amazes me, 11 games into the season. You know, if the scores would be 9-8 in the starting pitching, we were 5-4 and we were winning 8-7 and 9-8. You know, I could hear somebody saying, well, you know, that's the part of our team where, you know, people don't know after Romero's how good Morrow's going to do this year and the young pitchers. But it's the back of the baseball cards. We know what so many of these guys have produced before, and even a guy like Laurie, I know it's only 1 year. But, you know, most of the guys in this team have a track record. And, you know, there's guys, plenty of guys who are slow starters. And, you know, I'm very excited about this team. I really, really think this team has... You know, I don't like to say the word, but they call it the it factor. And, you know, tonight you don't get that many hits and you're scoring all those runs on other teams' mistakes. That's a good team, a team that takes advantage of the other team's mistakes. And they win those games even when they don't have, you know, 12, 13 hits. So I could say I'm excited, and I really don't understand the people that think, the sky's coming in.
Look, you know what? It's a great call, Russ, and I appreciate it. And and there's every reason in the world to be excited about this team. But, you know, A, being excited doesn't necessarily mean, oh, my God, what am I going to do if this team doesn't win the World Series? But, two, being excited also, you know, means that you have to remember that it's baseball. And that in baseball, great teams, not just good teams, great teams lose games all the time. Right now, the Blue Jays have won 6 of their first 10 games this season. They are on pace to win 97 games this year. 97 games, which is a phenomenal season, the likes of which has not been seen around these parts for the long time. I don't think either of the World Series teams won 97 games. They won 96 and 87. They won 99 and 85. I don't know if they've ever won more than 96 in any other season. I'm going to try to look it up. But the point is that even in a very successful season, you're going to lose a ton of games. And if you take every loss to mean that there's a hugely significant flaw in the team, and if you take every loss to mean so much is going wrong, you're going to drive yourself nuts. And baseball is not the sport for you. I understand living and dying with every game to an extent. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being thrilled when a team wins and being upset when a team loses. Certainly nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't take a loss and say, oh, well, you know what, it's just one of 70 games that they're definitely going to lose this year. But you don't have to take that next step that each loss becomes this unveiling of a ton of flaws that are extraordinarily damaging to the ball club. Thank you, Russ. Appreciate the call. Only one team in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays has won as many as 97 games. That's the pace that this team is on right now if you're feeling terrible about how things are going. So there's no team besides the 1985 Blue Jays who have won 6 out of every 10 games that they've played. Mike in Mississauga listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, Mike, just calling in for a similar reason as the last gentleman, I guess. Just disappointing to hear, you know, we get an awesome win, a great game, and then the first caller that I hear is picking apart Colby Rasmus. Like, just doesn't make sense to me. Like, why are people calling in focusing on negatives that really aren't really negatives if he's been watching the at-bats, because Colby's smoking the ball, just getting really unlucky, as you said, right? Why not just call in and look at the positives, like Adam Lind tonight, you know, huge game. I was actually, you know, real anti-Lynn coming into the season. But I think, like, tonight is just a huge, a huge appearance by him just to show, like, you know, it's possible that he could come back. If you look at the at-bat, like, oh, the J.P. Howell against the lefty, you know, people automatically think, automatic out.
Yep.
And, boom, takes a walk, you know?
Absolutely.
So he necessarily can't, you know, wouldn't get a hit, but it was just beautiful to see that walk, like almost more than it was to see. I mean, that was just great to me to see the opposite field home run, you know?
Yep.
So it's just, I don't understand people why they're calling in with the negatives right away. Call in, talk about the positives. We got a great team. It was a great win. Need to be, I don't understand this obsession the city has with Rasmus negativity, but that's all I had to say. Great win tonight. It was exciting to see.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you for the call. And you're right. You're right. I find it funny, too, and I'm going to try not to dwell on this a little bit, but I find it funny that on occasion when the Blue Jays will win a game, I'll get a couple of phone calls that say, well, couldn't find anything to complain about tonight. And my immediate reaction is, why are you trying to? You know, why are you looking for things to complain about? Have the Maple Leafs damaged you all so much? It's very strange, and you know, I know it's been 18 years since this team's been in the playoffs. It's the 19th season since the team's been in the playoffs. I know that you're not used to
Okay, am I still
looking up? You are still here.
Okay, well, 18 years, that's like, in baseball terms, that's, you know, it could be worse.
Well, yeah, and again, thanks, Mike, for the call. Appreciate it. 18 years since a World Series, for sure, is nothing in baseball terms. 18 years since a playoff spot, I think people have a right to be upset. But that's 18 years. It's all gone. You can't undo what's done. You can enjoy what's going on in front of you. And what's going on right now with this team, it's a lot of fun. They've played 10 games so far this season. They've won 6 of them. They have been in all of them. They've had the lead in the 8th inning or later 9 times this year. How many games have the Blue Jays lost this year that they've just kind of lost? I think there's only been one. And even that one, they only lost by 1, and they had the bases loaded in the 9th inning with Jose Bautista at the plate. So this has been an extraordinarily fun team to watch.
Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Ben Francisco, and you're listening to Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Slender right-handers pitch. Fastball belted deep center field. Way back it goes, and there she goes. Home run, Brett Laurie, his second. And the Blue Jays add to their lead, now up 7-3 over the Rays.
Brett Laurie with his second home run in as many games since doing a pregame interview with me on Sunday. I'm just saying. The Blue Jays beat the Tampa Bay Rays 7-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go. Rob in Aurora, welcome to the Extendo Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. And, you know, you were saying just before the break that there's a lot to get excited about. But, you know, I'm also going to the game sometimes with family, sometimes for business. It's the best value in town from a business perspective. Because, you know, we went up to the VIP section. We had a nice meal, me and 3 clients. We got great food, good value. There's a great game. There's a decent atmosphere. I wish the crowd was bigger. But, you know, when you compare that to the other options, it's by far the best value for your money.
And I couldn't agree with you more.
Everybody had a great time. And they're all saying the same thing. It's too bad there weren't more people here to enjoy it. I can't understand why there aren't more business people there. I mean, for 3 times the price, you go down the street and watch a team lose and not have much fun. Or you can come to this and watch a bunch of guys having a good time. And that's the thing about the Jays this year, too, is you look up and down that dugout. There's a different vibe. They seem to be having a good time. They seem to be enjoying themselves playing the game. I guess it's a young team, but I just like the vibe around these guys this year.
Yeah, and you're not alone. You know what? I think that there is a different vibe around the team this year, and I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means anything, because this is a team that's been a lot of fun to watch the last few years. I know nobody wants to believe that, but, you know, for the last 5 years, the Blue Jays have been 500 or better, and they've been an exciting team in different ways a lot of the time. But this year feels different. And I'm not sure what it is. And I've mentioned this a few times, that I think in the past, the Blue Jays have kind of felt like they were probably going to win. They're pretty sure that they could win every game they played. And obviously nobody does. But I think that was the feeling. They were pretty sure. Now they know. They come to the ballpark, and they know they're going to win that night. And obviously, they're not going to win every night. And they know that, too. But it really is a different feeling. And again, I don't know that it's going to translate to the playoffs. I'm not sure it will. But that doesn't matter. What it is going to translate to is an incredibly competitive team, a fun team to watch, an exciting, growing, very young team for which there are great things in the offing. Those great things may come about sooner than any of us expect, but I do believe they are in the offing. Andrew, in Toronto, welcome to the Extendo Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, Mike. How are you? I'm just on my way home from the game right now.
I just wanted to echo your last thought there.
Exciting, very exciting game to watch again. I agree with you. I'm loving watching these Blue Jays so far this year. It's been a lot of fun. Been out to four or five games already this year, having a great time. I do want to ask you one question, though.
But you didn't wait for an answer. Do you want to know how I am or not?
I was told not to ask you that. It just kind of came out. I just want to get your opinion, and I don't want to sound negative because I know you hate that whole attitude, and I'm really not negative on this Jays team at all, but I did want to get your opinion on overusing the defense. You think that's something that, you know,
cut,
that could happen?
You cut out, I right, feel, when you cut out, overusing the what?
Overusing the defensive shift. I feel like, you know, it's a great play to use when it works, but there are certainly times where I feel like it's almost not a good idea to use.
You know
Carlos
what?
Pena tonight, he's a very smart hitter.
Right.
Joe Madden's a smart manager, and I'm sure he was telling Pena what to do when he came up with the big exaggerated shift on there.
Well, and
he
I'm
came
not
up
sure
and, you know,
that
laid
Joe,
that bunt down the yeah. third baseline and took
you gotta,
a base
you
hit.
You got to let me talk in once
so
in a while,
I just want to get your opinion, see what you think on that, whether there's overusing the shift.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. At some point, you'll get the conversation thing down. But I do appreciate it. I don't know what to think about the shift. I don't like it in a vacuum. I don't. Because I love that Carlos Pena had two bunt singles today. I love it because, you know what? Carlos Pena may well hit 40 home runs this year. It's been a long time since he's done that. He's got the capability of hitting 40 home runs. If you hit 40 home runs, that means on average you hit a home run every four games. So would you rather, I mean, there are managers who will say, and John Farrell may well be one of them, they're happy. They're fine with a guy dropping a bunt down against the shift. They'll gladly give him the single so that he doesn't hit the home run. Except that how often does he hit the home run? Once every four games. He's going to get out 65% of the time. That's Carlos Pena. A lot of guys get out more often than that. So wouldn't you, I mean, if you're a hitter, would you rather not have a 100% chance at a hit even though it's only a single? Base runners are important. I would be thrilled to death to bunt against the shift every single time I saw it until people stopped playing it on me. But then you got Luke Scott. And the Blue Jays played the shift on Luke Scott, and Luke Scott hit into two double plays because the shift was on. So, you know, I'm kind of ambivalent towards it. But I'll tell you this, if I was a hitter, I don't care. You play that shift on me, I am bunting into it every single time. Every time I see it, I don't care who's on base, I don't care what the situation is, I don't care what the score is. I am bunting into that shift every single time I see it until you stop playing it on me. Steve is in Phoenix City, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Thank you for the call, Steve.
Hey, Mike, how you doing this evening, buddy?
I am doing well. How's life down in Bama?
Oh, man, it's raining, nice weather. Perfect. Couldn't get any better.
Is there a sign on the town line that says home of Colby Rasmus?
Not yet, but I'm shooting for it.
All right, keep shooting.
Okay. I'm a brand new Blue Jay fan. I come on last year when Colby got traded, and I know Colby's head was in a bad place last year when he went to the Blue Jays, and I understand some of the fans' skepticism toward Colby Rasmus. This year, he's coming there with a whole brand new attitude. He may not be getting the hits that they want, but he's putting the ball out there. I mean, he's driving it to the warning track. He's lying ropes, like you were saying earlier. And defensively, you can't probably ask for a better center fielder right now.
Not the way he's playing right now. He has been spectacular.
Why are these fans on him so doggone hard up there, Mike? I don't understand it.
You know what? I think it's calming down. I really do. But I think the fans were on him, and I was doing my best all of last year to convince him, but it's not going to, you know, you got to do it yourself. I think they were on him because Colby had such a terrible couple of months. And like you said, his head wasn't in the right place. We all know that here. I don't think anybody wanted to hear it or wanted to see it. And I think, too, his laid-backness may have rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He is very easygoing. He doesn't smile much. He just kind of takes things in stride. Doesn't really look like he's moving all that fast or running all that hard, even though he's eating up a lot of ground underneath those shoes. So I think all those things, combined with the fact that he hit under 200, really rubbed a lot of people here the wrong way. But I also think that in a span of about 10 minutes in the home opener, with the catch and the triple, he won a lot of fans over.
You know, Mike, Colby has been like that ever since he played Little League Baseball with my son. he has been laid back. He's a good ball player. He's always been a good ball player. But, you know, y'all get that boy some catfish and some hush puppies and treat him like he's home. He's going to come around for you. He's going to be an all-star ball player before it's over with, I guarantee you.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate the call all the way from Phoenix City in Alabama, home of Colby Rasmus. And the hush puppies that Steve are referring to, for those folks out up here, are not shoes. He didn't mean get him a new pair of shoes. Hush puppies are, well, you know what they say about good Southern cooking, right? If it's not deep fried, it's not done. Hush puppies are really something else, although I'm sure your heart would tell you otherwise. Dave in Toronto. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I don't know how I can top that one.
That was awesome.
That was a good call, yeah. Hey, a couple quick things. I know you're running against the clock here. I want to ask you a couple things. I haven't heard you talk about Ben Francisco and what the rationale is about having, if it's more having another right-handed bat off the bench and having a veteran presence. Not sure what he really brings, and I'm not asking the question in light of his appearance tonight. For the most part, I think he's been in, what, four games? He hasn't been too bad. But I'm not sure if it might be better served to have, even if it is a left-handed bat, to have Travis Snider up here on the bench. And
oh, I guarantee you it's not better to have Travis Snider up here on the bench.
Well, to have him push, Eric Thames.
But how's he going to push him if he's on the bench?
Well, I mean, I guess the question I really want to ask is, do you think the art of the platoon is gone? I mean, forget platooning, meaning having a right-handed and a left-handed bat to play a position, you know, when you've got matchup situations. But do you think that art is kind of lost? I know in previous regimes or back in the past in the Jays' history, they used to platoon at different positions.
They did, but it was only the way you're referring to, as in lefty versus righties and righty versus lefties. There's no such thing as a platoon of two players who hit from the same side of the plate.
So what about, so you don't use that term, what about just rotating out and using the hot hand and having each guy push each other? Because, I mean, Eric Thames, we've seen burning a substitute option off the bench when you go to Rajai Davis a little bit early. And I mean, I don't know if Francisco's a good defensive option. I don't know if he's a better bat than Travis Snider. If you could have one of Thames or Snider in every other day, or whoever the hot hand is,
see,
would it
baseball,
be better to have them both here?
I you know what, I know where you're going, and you're making very good arguments, but baseball, I mean, you're not going to get the best out of a guy by playing him every other day or by running with the hot hand until he's not hot and then throwing in the other guy who's only gotten one start in a week and a half. That's not the way to optimize your usage of either of those players. They would both be hurt by that. And the Blue Jays are trying to get the most they can out of Eric Thames, and they want to someday get the most they can out of Travis Snider. And the way to do it is not to have them sharing a position in the major leagues. I completely get where you are with Ben Francisco. To be honest with you, I think he's redundant on this team. I don't think that there's anything that Ben Francisco does that can't be done by somebody else. Which is not a shot at Francisco. Just from the time he was acquired, we thought there was another shoe dropping, another outfielder was going to move somewhere, something was going to happen, because there didn't seem to be a fit for him on this team. And 10 games into the season, there still doesn't seem to be a fit for him on this team. If Eric Thames gets hurt, Ben Francisco's not going to play left field every day. Travis Snyder's coming up. You need a bat off the bench? Well, Rajai can do it just as well as Francisco, just without the power. But maybe against a lefty with a better chance of getting on. You need a pinch runner, it's Davis. You need a defensive substitution, it's Davis. Francisco is the pure fifth outfielder. And He can play. There's no question. He's a big leaguer. But there really just doesn't seem to be a role for him on that team, but on this team. But the way to fix that, the way to overcome that, is not to have Snyder come up and have them share a spot, have Snyder and Thames share a spot, because that's just no good for anybody. Appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls. Sorry to those of you to whom we could not get. But with the remaining time that we have, let's check and see what the skipper had to say. Here's John Farrell at his post-game media conference.
A number of good things offensively tonight, particularly from Jose and Adam, stating the obvious. But it's good to see Jose, as we thought over the weekend, start to gain some consistent timing, and that was certainly the case tonight. And then with Adam being able to stay inside the ball, use the whole field, as he's done when he's really swung the bat well, and that was the case tonight. But, you know, Ricky battled himself, but he made a big pitch in a couple of key situations, got two key double plays, and then the strikeout to Pena with two outs, base open, and men at second and third in just a two-run game at the time was another key moment in the game. But good to see guys come out of the bullpen, throw up zeros, and just a good, clean game in that regard.
John, can you just talk about the significance of the actual defensive play that Jose made as well at that point of the game?
Well, the second hitter of the game, Pena, who's come in extremely hot, squares the ball up to right field, and as Jose has done many times before, he's not only accurate, but he's got tremendous arm strength, and, you know, to cut down a would-be double, snuffs out any momentum that they look to get going right from the get-go, and I really think it gave Ricky a chance to settle in early, but then, he continued to fight himself and his overall command.
John, just like we talked before the game, it seemed like your defense was pretty rock solid throughout the game.
Yeah, we turned a couple of double plays, I think three in total. Colby with good range in center field. Brett with a couple of solid plays at third base. We had the one knockdown pick where, we tried to back pick at third base. That's the only kind of blemish on tonight. But still, I think we've had a constant in that area of the game from spring training through tonight. And I don't see any reason why that would change. We've added some athleticism and some overall range to the defense, and it shows up.
John, again, this might be stated the obvious, but when you have Adam and Jose going in the same game together, how much of a difference does that make in your lineup?
Well, it's on a given night, it's the heart of the order. And to see the extra base capability, it forces them to manage the lineup a little bit different. Even as well as Edwin has been swinging the bat, again, it goes back to what we've talked about before, which, we're starting to get more guys involved. And the deeper we can create in our lineup, the tougher it will be for oppositions. Even though at one point I think we had three hits on the board, still there were a number of walks, whether they were intentional or otherwise, a couple of hit batters. We were able to make the most of those three hits.
They were able to make the most of those three hits. There's manager John Farrell. Three hits from Adam Lind. Seven hits for the Blue Jays in the ball game, but seven runs. And the Jays go 3-for-6 with runners in scoring position, continuing this amazing. And you know what? They're owed so much for all those years when they were so terrible with runners in scoring position for no apparent reason. They have been incredible in that situation this year. They continue their series with these Tampa Bay Rays tomorrow. Brandon Morrow, who is 0-0 with two blown saves behind him, against David Price, who's 1-1. We're back at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Come join us, won't you? Thanks to Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Gord Brunt. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.